And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, March 21st, 2026. Stay tuned. Back, and I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning.
And thanks, guys, for being here. Will, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
You bet. Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Saturday morning. Thank you for the ability to fellowship with these men. We pray, Lord, that our conversation will be pleasing to you. And, Lord, that the remnant, no matter where they be, Lord, that they will be encouraged, uplifted. And Lord, I pray for Jacob Israel this morning and all that's going on in this land, Lord. We just thank you for being the solid rock that we can cling to no matter no matter what storm comes our way. We praise your name for that, and we just ask you to be with us during this time. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, where do you guys want to start off this morning?
I think it's interesting. You know, it's come out, and, you know, we're, what are we, 3 weeks into this whole Iran thing? I think it's 3 weeks today, maybe 4 weeks. And, we've had refueling planes shot on the ground in Saudi Arabia, shot in the sky. I think it's up to, depending on what news source you listen to, 4 F-35s that have been shot. I know one just a couple of days ago. All of this stuff, and it's come out, and Russia is giving the intelligence to Iran on where to send the missiles. And Russia has come out and said, I tell you what, United States, we'll stop giving the intelligence to Iran if you stop giving intelligence to the Ukraine. To me, that's kind of, I don't know, dastardly. I don't know what you would say of, you know, tit for tat. I don't know. Tim, what do you think about that?
I don't know, man. I just think the whole thing just kind of makes me go, wow. You know, I mean, I look at and we also know there's a big, there's quite a little bit of under the table business going on, supposedly, as far as munition supply from Russia into Iran. And, you know, it's like, well, we don't say anything about it because, after all, one way or the other, we're supplying munitions into Ukraine, supposedly. So, you know, I'm sure that this is a veiled, this is the, what do you want to call it, veneer here. Hey, we'll stop giving them information if you stop giving Ukraine information, which is also,
right,
wink, wink, no more munitions either, and you stop providing Ukraine with all that. So I imagine that the depth of the offer goes a little deeper than just that, although it's significant. But
well, yeah. I thought it was interesting that they said that the U.S. declined the offer and that a lot of the European diplomats, they've come out since then, and they said that Moscow is trying to drive a wedge between Europe and the U.S. at a critical moment when, you know, they need strong ties. So it's do you just keep hearing it ring in the back of your mind, wars and rumors of wars?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Well, I go ahead, Will.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead, Tim, please.
I thought it was interesting that on Friday, Trump was talking about the fact that, you know, he was trying to get NATO involved over there in the Strait of Hormuz because Iran has shut that down, supposedly. And, you know, he basically called them cowards and said, we're going to remember this, you know, and everything. And it's like, well, we don't all beat. I just seen we don't all beat our drum for Israel, you know, for this little nation of Israel. And we're not coming over there to do that. And I just thought it was significant that pretty much every single European airspace over there has issued, what do you want to call it, arrest warrants or, you know, for Netanyahu. He has no airspace now over Europe that he can fly over without being arrested. So I think that's significant too. So yeah, we're seeing some real queuing going on over there between different groups.
Well, I thought it was. Oh, go ahead, Will.
No, I was just going to say, you know, you were talking about wars and rumors of wars, and if you really look closely at this one, it really, I mean, they keep calling it whatever, military action or whatever. this is really turning into a world war. I mean, that's, we haven't really seen Asia get into it yet, but the Europeans are being dragged in by hook or crook. I mean, I think they have not really wanted to get involved, but they're certainly getting involved the way Tim was just describing, with more or less getting shamed and called cowards and all of this sort of stuff. And, you know, you have Russia on the backside of this, really, in my opinion, propping up Iran, both physically with missiles and armaments like Tim was talking about, and with intelligence. But I just wanted to throw this one out at you because I didn't see it till late. did y'all hear about a military warehouse that was set afire in the Czech Republic?
No.
No, I haven't heard that.
All right, so let me bounce this guys off of you. There is a company called LPP Holding, and on paper it is a Czech arms manufacturer, but it is owned by an Israeli company called Elbit Systems. And what this place in the Czech Republic is it's a drone development company that is building military drones. And these are the drones that have made their way into the Ukraine. There are also drones that are being used against Iran. And it apparently was burned to the ground. This was yesterday. And a anti-Zionist group has taken credit for this. So the war has gone to the Czech Republic, where now inside the Czech Republic, you have a anti-Zionist group, is what they're calling it, that has burned down a military depot. And they released a statement, and it said, this site was used to develop weaponry used by a Zionist entity to massacre people daily in Palestine, Lebanon, Iran, and across West Asia. So when you really stop and think about it, now it's not just Europe politically or diplomatically involved in this. The war has now gone to mainland Europe, where these Israeli holdings that are inside these European countries are being targeted and attacked. I find that interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Significant.
Well, that's right, Tim.
Yeah. Really, of course, we've talked about basically the Ukrainian situation being a proxy war for Israel. I mean, up in that region, it's just another expansionist move by, I mean, really. I was thinking about this the other day. The similarities between the Ukrainian situation with Russia is very, the same thing's going on down there with the Israelis. They're out there trying to do land grabs and expand. And that's basically what Ukraine's doing, is saying, hey, this, you know, this port is ours, you know, and this is ours and that's ours, that we're going to, and it's, yeah, it's a proxy war. And then when you mix that in with the fact that pretty much all of the PMs and a lot of the other people came from up there, I mean, that is the Khazar land. That is
that's right.
You've got all those people going. I mean, you know, things that they're equal to each other in a lot of ways. So, yeah, no surprise, right?
Right.
And these days, all you've got to do is blink funny to be considered anti-Semitic or anti-Israel or whatever else. Talking about the world war, I mean, if you have an opinion that differs from the mainstream situation at all, why, you're labeled immediately as a racist, a Nazi, or you know, an anti-Semite or something like that. It's like, I mean,
Tim,
go ahead.
I was in a meeting last week, and it was during breakfast time, and somebody offered me a cup of coffee and a bagel, and I declined, and they wanted to know why I hated the Jews so much. That's a joke.
Yeah. I got it. I had coffee. I was trying to keep from getting
okay.
Coming up my nose.
We got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, Jason. I just called in. Got a prayer request for Well, she was, our shoulder's been bothering her all week. She was out snowblowing and stuff with all that snow we had this week, and praise the Lord to heal it. And I had a little trouble with my legs last night. Prayed at the Lord to heal that. Then I dug up an old number four songbook with Pastor Peters. You know, he's got the song in there, Take Us in the Kingdom Days.
Yep.
And we'll have to try to play that today, but I just pray, Lord, take us in the kingdom days. And,
amen.
You know, God bless you guys.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Warren.
God bless.
Okay. God bless.
And, the phone lines to call in. Anybody like to call in this morning? 970-224-4203. I thought it was interesting on that, there was a lot of, one of the things that I ran across, and it was talking about the Fox News report recently with Trump, and it said how did they put it? Vladimir Putin might be helping them, Iran, a little bit. Yeah, I guess. And he probably thinks that we're helping Ukraine, right? And it's like, yeah. And that's one of the things from what I understand. Yeah, we've backed off of giving them a lot of supplies, but I think that that's one of the things that we've been really strongly with is supplying Ukraine with a lot of intel also, hasn't it?
And coordinates, for sure. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We haven't all forgot, like, the gunwalking affairs and the Iran-Contra situation and a lot of the other situations that went on where, you know, it was the part where we said we weren't doing something that we were doing. I mean, not we particularly, I don't like including myself in that, but where our government was doing that, you know, and it was on the QT and everything else. And then later it came out. I was like, oh, so have they really changed their stripes? Are they really doing things any different right now? Yeah, one has to ask. You know? So.
You know, I may do a terrible job at this, Tim, but I'll just try to do this quick. I like to say a lot, you know, nothing's new under the sun, right? Solomon got it right. And it's the same old stuff that they keep doing. And if you really look at what was happening in that Iran-Contra affair, so I'll try to do this as neatly as I can and try to make it make sense. So you had the United States government in Central America, in the Nicaragua-Honduras area, that was running cocaine, using special forces soldiers because the Contras were anti-communist, supposedly, fighting down there in Central America. They were taking the proceeds from cocaine dealing, using that to buy weapons to funnel to the Middle East to cause wars against our supposed enemies there. And if you really kind of stop and look at what we're doing with Venezuela and Cuba and everything going on in Central America and South America now, and now we're back in conflict with the Iranians and all of that, did we ever leave? Did this ever stop? Did we just put it on pause and we're doing the same stuff over again? Jason, you're talking about wars and rumors of wars. Is it just perpetual? And the reason why it's perpetual, and anyone listening to us, in my opinion, this is Will's opinion, the reason why it's perpetual is because it's a perpetual money machine.
Right.
All of the stuff that I just described, it just produces massive amounts of money, whether it's the military-industrial complex, and that's the thing. And, you know, we talk about the military-industrial complex, but go back to what I was saying about the pushing of cocaine. In that time frame, in those early 80s, when we saw an inferior grade of cocaine coming up out of, like, Honduras and Nicaragua, that is what started the crack cocaine epidemic in the United States. Undeniably now, even through some releases for Freedom of Information Act stuff, the CIA developed crack cocaine. and pushed it into the inner cities all across this country because it was a cheap, affordable way to use a lower grade of cocaine. Well, think about just the terrible stuff that crack cocaine has perpetrated on this country. Well, it started a whole other industry of drug counseling and drug courts, and you got to have court-appointed attorneys, and it's good for the jail population. So when you really start and look at all of this, it is all tied back to the dollar. That it is such good. The reason why we've never tried to really win the war on drugs is because we started the war on drugs. We started the idea of the implementation of a permanent segment of our population that's addicted to drugs, and we don't want them not to be addicted to drugs. Like you, Tim, I don't like to say we, but this nation, the rulers of this nation, they don't want the drug problem to go away. Because if the drug problem went away, it would be bad for business. It's bad for the bottom line. And the same thing applies to the military-industrial complex, the narcotic industrial complex, fill in the blank. And
human trafficking. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is a business model, and there is brand development and reinvestment into new or continuing market research. I mean, you can literally take the template for corporate business development and place it over the drugs or over a lot of the others, and man, they just drop in. You have the only difference is maybe when they don't like you anymore, you don't get to resign. They don't terminate your position. They terminate you. But the point is,
that's right.
There's continuing advancement. There's retirement programs. I mean, we hear about these things, but they don't talk about it real big. They don't want you to get the idea. It's a structured. It's very structured. It's not like a bunch of grimy criminals out there just rubbing their hands together and doing things. I think they even show that in a lot of the movies with the drug king. You know, they live down there in these houses. They have their lieutenants or board members that go, you know, and it's like, it's a business. And as long as you have, and you're back to that war and rumors of wars. We got the war on drugs. We got the war on this. We got the, you know.
Well, I was thinking about that when you started saying that, Will. We had... When it was at the 1960s, we had the war on poverty. And what did we have? We had more poverty after that. We had the war on crime. What happened with the crime rate? And the crime rate went through the roof. We had the war on cancer. What happened with the cancer? It went through the roof. We had the war on drugs. And what happened with the drugs? We have more drugs than we've ever had before. And when we have a war on it. And, you know, what happened?
The fact of the matter is, if the United States declares war on something, it will never end.
Right.
Yeah.
And what have we had? We've had a war on terror, and look at where the terror is.
If you really want to know, think about it as a ribbon cutting to a new business. If the United States says we're at war with something, they're creating a new business. They might as well have a big, gigantic pair of scissors cutting a ribbon, because you're about to see a perpetual business started, and in the end, us, the goyim, the chattel, whatever you want to call us, we suffer, and they profit.
Yeah, you got them up there right now saying, oh, by the way, we need another $20 billion for this war in Iran. And it's like, wait a minute, you said it wasn't a war, but now it is. I mean, it's like, it's all marketing. I mean, really, you know. And we're seeing it. And the Lord said, when you're in that bondage situation, they go higher, you go lower. You know, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, however you want to kind of phrase that. It's like that's their goal, is to suck it all up. So I certainly don't believe in the redistribution of wealth, but when you have 2% of the population of the world holding over 80 or 90% of the financial means of the world, there's something. I don't think that's a godly scenario, and I'm not about redistribution, but I'm also not for theft. So, yeah.
Greed.
Yeah. It is one of the sins mentioned, isn't it? Greed. Yeah.
It's that. And if you stop, I mean, there's, if you stop and think about it, you know, all of the things we've discussed, I don't care if it's war or drugs or whatever it is that we've been talking about here in the last few minutes. If you go back to that statement that the love of money is the root of all evil. I mean, we're really talking about greed when we say that. If you look at all of the evils that permeate the American culture, well, just in culture in general, it all goes back to the love of money. How much is enough? And for a certain segment of people, it's always a little more.
Yeah, and I think their desire for things, personally, this is my opinion, but I think it transcends the desire for fun. I think that it extends into the total destruction of everything, and I think that's what. And that's a hard thing for, again, and I've said it before, but it's a hard thing for us to understand because even when you don't like someone, you don't want to see them obliterated and destroyed as a general, you know what I mean? It's like, I just want you to go away and leave me alone or whatever. But they have no problem with obliteration and destruction of people that they don't even know who have never really had anything to do with. So. Yeah. And they hate our God. I seen that one on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu talking about Jesus Christ has no advantage over Genghis Khan, and if he's still alive,
if he's still alive,
I'm not totally convinced that. What we're seeing here is a deniability issue in this whole thing going on over there in Iran. We deny that they struck any of our aircraft. They deny that, you know, that Israel's taken any hits back and forth. It's like there's no transparency here in actually what's going on over there. So, but comparing Jesus Christ to a Mongolian warlord is... It leaves me cold. I mean, I don't know any word for it, but did you guys see that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't even really, I don't know if I can say what I want to say, but to say that Jesus Christ, the Son of God is inferior to an Asiatic warlord responsible for really hundreds of thousands of murders. I mean, not hundreds of thousands of murders. That should tell you at least what Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of the State of Israel, thinks about Christians in general. Certainly about Jesus Christ. And if you really stop and think about it, this is what I thought about, Tim, and I don't think this is a far stretch. You know, we mentioned the Khazars and all of that, and if you really look at what they are, they're an Eastern European Asiatic people. They're Mongols. They migrated from that region into Eastern Europe, into the Slavic countries and that sort of thing. So, I scratched my head and then I thought, well, of course he's putting somebody like Genghis Khan up on a pedestal. You know, Genghis Khan was a Asiatic, bloodthirsty warlord that is a relative. Right,
yeah.
Of the Khazarian people, of course that they would denigrate Jesus Christ and elevate a person like Genghis Khan over our Savior because they hate our Savior and they're bloodthirsty and they love people like Genghis Khan. You know, that is the type of person that they would elevate. I know Netanyahu, or at least Netanyahu's Matrix version of Netanyahu, the AI Netanyahu, has tried to walk this back and explain it away. And I don't know if you guys caught that One of the things that the AI version of Netanyahu has said is Christians are loved and protected in Israel.
which Israel are we talking about here?
You know, like what a crazy statement, you know, and it doesn't take real long with the power of the internet. You can see just how much the Israelis love Christians when they're spitting on them and kicking them on the ground. That's how much they love us. So I don't know. It's crazy. Do y'all think Netanyahu's dead?
I think he is. I'll come out and say it. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but
I have no idea. I don't know. I know what they're telling us isn't the truth. But, you know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about it. I mean, it's like I think Epstein's alive, and I think Netanyahu's dead. So it's like that's kind of twisted.
That is twisted. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, Jason. But yeah, you're right.
the bottom line that the default setting that I get to is if they say something like that, I usually believe the opposite. You're right more often than you're wrong. So it's like, you know, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he is. But, you know, in this day and age of fakery, who knows? But I suspicion probably isn't around. So it's certainly interesting how he hasn't been seen much. So.
Go ahead. And you know, I'm these glitches, these video glitches, you don't know what to believe, right? I mean, you really don't, because just as easy as the government of Israel faking something like that with an AI video, you know, some commentator or internet person could fake that video too. So we don't know what to believe. What I'll say as a commentator for me is, if he's dead, I'm not going to lose any sleep. And if he's alive, at least it's nice wishing that he was dead. So, I mean, I have no problem with any of that. So, meanwhile, his son is still in Miami, Florida, as a dual U.S. American citizen. Just letting y'all know that.
Yep. Well, and whether he's dead or he's alive, Jesus Christ is king. So, you know, that's the way
well,
I look at it.
So. Not everybody thinks that, Tim. Not everybody thinks Jesus Christ is king, and some of those people are elected in our U.S. Senate. So.
Yeah, I know.
And then there's Ted Cruz, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Before we talk about Ted Cruz, since we're sitting here talking about it, I brought out my heavy-duty, like, barbecue-grade aluminum foil today and made a pretty good-looking hat out of it. Jason, I know we got a call. I'll say something in a minute.
Okay. We'll go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, Jason and brothers in class. So this is Barbie from Florida.
Hey, Barbie.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey.
Just fantastic. So just a note, one of my prayer warrior partner has started a little boutique, and one of the most amazing things she's making are little earrings with a mustard seed in them to remind us that Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So if we walk around with that all day long and get reminded of that all day long, we can change things.
Amen.
Amen.
And just a note, so I follow the sun and solar cycles. I don't know why. Some people say, I'm going to be humble about it, that I'm a seer. And some of the things I've listened to lately from your ministry are, you have to see beyond. So all of this distraction and all the gossip, which is what I call the media, the alt media, and all this other stuff, no one's looking up. Well, I look up all the time, and I've been following and actually have been able to see and photograph the planet that is behind the sun, and when they chemtrail heavily, I live in the middle of a 100-acre hay area with woods and stuff. The other day I was coming in, and they were chemtrailing really heavy, and they always told us as little kids not to look at the sun. Well, when they tell me not to, I do. Well, I thought I've been tracking that planet probably for, I don't know, 4 years or so, and I've seen it from time to time. The other day, I was able to see it again, and it's huge. It's like, that means it's getting closer. So I photographed it, and that was Tuesday at 2 o'clock here in North Florida. And then I sent it to a friend of mine who, believe it or not, is a retired Fed, and her husband's Air Force at retired. So I sent it to her. Wednesday, I get a picture from her. She's like, Barbie, look, I got a picture of it too, which I was like really taken in because they're very, I don't know, I didn't think it stuck, you know, when I sent it over to them. I was like, yep. So all these things about weather changes and geoengineering, they're trying to keep you from seeing what's really coming. It's bigger than all of us. But with the faith of a mustard seed, maybe we can pray to God that when this does pass, that we're in his safe place. And that's really all I'll say.
Good point.
I'll send you the picture.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's gigantic. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yep.
Cool.
Anyway.
Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you.
I think it's in the Bible. I think they call it the Destroyer and Wormwood, and some people call it Nibiru, but it's up there. Anyway, have a blessed day, and just listen. Today's the day the Lord has made. We shall be glad and rejoice in it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the outcome is assured.
Go ahead. Absolutely.
And again, that phone number, 970-224-4203. So what was the deal with this F-35 getting shot down?
Well, initially, I think they said it was mechanical failure, but I think they've come back now and acknowledged that it was an Iranian munition. It didn't crash land. It was able to make an emergency landing, but it definitely was hit. Yeah, it definitely was hit. And I don't know if y'all have caught any more. I actually had a news story sent to me that in addition to that, the one that was taken out of the sky, four additional F-35s were destroyed on the ground at a base in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, I did hear
for
that.
For a total of five. Yeah, so... And we were talking about the refueling planes last week. I think that number's up to five or six as well. The other side of that, too, is at least there's some credible intel that has come out that the USS Gerald Ford and the USS Abraham Lincoln, both aircraft carriers, have sustained damage in the waters in the Gulf. So we have two aircraft carriers that I believe are having to return to port. Tim, I don't know if you've heard that. I know there was a 30-hour fire on the Gerald Ford they couldn't get under control as a result of getting hit by a torpedo.
Yeah, the Gerald Ford is one of our largest warships. Yeah, and supposedly it was hit, of course, and denied by, you know, that issues with that. And also I heard, I think that was, as remarks to the Gerald Ford, that there was a situation with the toilets that they were all plugged up. And so it's like, well, we got hit, we got problems, but it wasn't Iran. But we're headed for, I forget where they were going to. They were putting into port somewhere, Greece, I think it was, if I remember right, that they were on their way to Greece for repairs. So it sounds... Yeah, this is more, I mean, I can't help but feel that this is more misdirect as far as we don't want to claim we were struck, we don't want to claim we had any problems. And yeah. So
the first cover story that came out on the Gerald Ford, not on the plumbing situation, but on the after they were hit, was there was a small fire in the laundry room, and the small fire took 30 hours to put out in the laundry room, and it started listing to one side as it was taking on water, I guess, from that fire. And I guess there were some sailors on board, because, you know, everybody has a smartphone now. So there is some video out there showing that they took a hit. They were going back to Crete or Greece or something like that. So my point being is, you know, Jason, you're talking about these planes, and we're talking about the aircraft carriers. It's just like talking about, is Netanyahu dead? Who knows? Because they're not telling us the whole story anyways. And depending on what news source or what intelligence source you read, I'm not really sure how many of our service people have been killed.
Right.
Because it's 100 or it's 2,000. I don't know. I don't know. They probably won't tell us, you know, and I go back, I wasn't alive. But I know, from reading the news sources, you know, it was, 6 months, 9 months after the Vietnam conflict started before we got an accurate body count. And the American people were shocked, you know, when Walter Cronkite comes on in the evening and tells them, you know, that the KIAs of American service people were in the thousands, because nobody had been told we were losing soldiers there. And I think you're probably going to see something very similar with this, that, you know, we're saying it's going great and ahead of schedule and all of this. And, you know, sometime in a couple of weeks, they're going to come back and say, hey, 2,500 of our people have been killed there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suspicion. And there's also a major rumor out there. I don't have any confirmation of it, but Grant, what I'm hearing is that they have a large number of soldiers refusing deployment orders in Iran, you know, that are American soldiers saying, hey, we don't want to go fight for that.
Yep.
So the situation there is there's a lot of confusion, and the author of confusion is not our Lord and Savior. So when I see that kind of stuff, I'm like, this is strange, you know.
I want to jump quickly, Jason, to back to the state of Israel. And I just want to throw out a personal conspiracy theory. Like, I don't really have anything to base this on other than it's just what I think. There has been a couple of incidents over the last couple weeks where missiles or explosives have hit close to the Western Wall and Temple Mount, the Temple Mount there where the Gold Dome Mosque is. And if people don't know, the Jews claim that the Western Wall is part of the original Temple of Solomon. It's a remnant that's still there, and that's where you see all the Hasidic Jews going and rocking back and forth and wailing there and all that sort of stuff. And then there's the Dome of the Rock, which is the big Gold Dome Mosque there that's, you know, a holy site for the Muslims and all of this. The Jews hate that this mosque is there. They hate it. Through international pressure is the only reason why it exists. And I don't think that the Shia Muslim state of Iran would target this mosque. I don't. I don't think that. But they may. I mean, I guess it's a possibility. But I tell you who would target it and blame it on Iran is the Jews.
Right.
And there have been two incidents now. I think this last one that just happened yesterday or the day before was something like 400 yards away, like it almost hit the mosque. And I have been running that through my head of, it wouldn't surprise me very soon if we see, because you got to remember, these Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan, Kabbalists, witches and wizards. I mean, that's all they are. I mean, they're just these occultist, bloodthirsty Jews desperately want to rebuild that temple. They want to rebuild that temple, and they want to do it where that mosque is at. And what a better chance now of being able to turn that into rubble and blaming it on the Iranians. I think that's coming. I don't know how that will play out in the world if that does happen. But in my mind, at least mentally, I'm preparing for that. But I think that that's what we'll see. And I think that'll be a huge destabilization in that region. Like, it needs any more destabilizing.
I would agree with you 100%. I had the same thoughts when I was seeing how close they were getting to those areas with the missiles.
Yeah.
I think that's probably definitely a target, and it'll be just like another false flag event, you know, burn the mosque down and blow it up and blame it on somebody else. Yeah. Kind of like what they're doing with the hospitals over there. Amnesty says Israel must stop attacking hospitals and ambulances. And also this last week, the WHO came out with a similar statement saying that Israel has got to stop bombing hospitals and ambulances and targeting healthcare workers. I mean, that pretty much explains what they do and who they are.
Maybe the WHO could throw in their all-girls schools, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they said that in one of those reports, that's what they said. They said that there's been, 100 women, several hundred children, over 40 healthcare workers. It's all Israel's doing is they're coming out and they're saying, those ambulances were militant and the hospital was militant. And, all the reports show that they had nothing to do with anything like that. So,
I don't know whether they're actually on the Geneva Convention list or not, but for the last 75 years, the number one violator of the Geneva Convention has been the State of Israel. So, I mean,
big surprise there, huh?
Yeah.
That's why Benjamin Netanyahu has the international arrest warrant. I mean, the arrest warrants are accusing him of war crimes. It's not like it's for embezzlement or fraud or whatever. You know, the Hague, the international court there, these countries got together and they heard the evidence, what was happening in Palestine, and they said the government of Israel are war criminals. And as the titular head, the prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, is the head war criminal. And that's the reason why the dude, if he's alive, can't travel to places. I know the South African government, and I don't give them credit for anything. I think they're a bunch of communist baboons. But their government has said that if Netanyahu sets foot in South Africa, they're arresting him. There are other nations have done that too. I guess they're anti-Semitic, though. That's probably what it is. Those countries are just anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of them.
Yeah. But it turns out if you're against bombing hospitals, killing medical staff that are volunteers from all around the world that are there for free in a war-torn environment, if you're against bombing children in an all-girls school, it's not that you hate bloody carnage. It's that you hate Jews. You're an anti-Semite if you do that, if you believe those things.
Yeah, yeah. And we're rapidly approaching the point in this country where true men that have Jesus in their heart and God on their mind don't care what we're called anymore.
Amen.
Like it's just the label. So,
amen.
They've beat that drum till people have got people are becoming tone deaf on it. So it's like
It amazes me how many things, and it amazes me how many mirror images there are out there in the real world. And I'm a believer in that. I think that's something that the enemy uses, is a mirror image. They call good evil, evil good, those sort of things. And if you remember, it wasn't too long ago, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, one of the things that the Israelis said over and over again in relation to the supposed Holocaust was never again, right? Never again is the systematic destruction and genocide of a people will be allowed to happen. Well, folks, it's what they're doing in Palestine. It's what they're doing and what they have done and they're trying to do in Lebanon. And, you know, pick the places that they're doing it. And, you know, they're the ones that are crying, never again, never again. You know, the world won't allow a systematic genocide of one group of people based on the religious beliefs and whatever. It's what they're doing. They're doing the exact same thing that they claim were done to them. And it's just a mirror image projection of evil. And they're wanting us to believe it to be good.
Yeah. Good point. Very good point.
Well, while we're talking about Israel attacking people, did you guys hear about them attacking the RT news crew?
Yes, I saw the video.
I did.
Yeah. And they're going back, and it's basically, I mean, and they've come out and were really clear. It's like, you know, they have a place for the you know, news crews to set up, and, you know, they're supposed to be in a safe zone where they can film and watch and stuff like that. And they say it was, you know, completely 100%, you know, target, and that they were the target. And I think they're right. I think that, you know, we're talking about them, you know, bombing schools and ambulances and hospitals and, you know, news crews. I mean, I think that they just go out. I think that they just want to kill everybody.
A couple points on that, Jason, just like Tim was just talking about with the Geneva Convention, and just like Red Cross or medical staff or medical personnel or whatever, media is considered to be no-goes, right? Like, those are people that are supposed to be, you know, like, those aren't targets. Those are not enemy combatants. So they're afforded protection under the Geneva Convention. So that's number one. But like Tim rightly pointed out, I'm not really sure the Israelis care about the Geneva Convention. They don't care about anything else as far as international law. Why would they care about that? So that's number one. Number two, isn't it funny? It wasn't CNN. It wasn't BBC. It wasn't Reuters. It wasn't Sky News. It was RT, which is Russian time.
Yeah.
And RT is very critical against the state of Israel, so probably not an accident.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I don't think it was an accident at all.
I did look it up. Originally, they ratified the Geneva Convention, Israel did, 1951. And then there's several protocols, which I don't know what's contained in the protocols, honestly. But they did ratify Protocol 3 in 2007. But that's it. The rest of them, they didn't have anything to do. It's like, yeah, whatever. You know, so
Don't you think, Tim, that Ben Gurion or whoever was the head of the state there in Israel realized, hey, this isn't going our way. All these people hate us.
Yeah.
And they just decided that we're not going to play anymore. These rules aren't in favor of us. Yeah. So,
yeah. We can't do what we want. So.
That's right. I don't know. I don't want to make this a one topic show, but man, it really is.
I know.
I
was thinking the same thing. We got a lot to talk about. They gave us a lot of ammunition.
I mean, that's the thing. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I've been following. I mean, you know, we're looking at this. This is an international stage level thing event we're talking about. And it is a macro view. But then you turn around and, you know, basically we're condoning what's going on as a nation. Again, I don't like the word we, but the United States is condoning what's going on over there on this macro level. But then you turn around and see somebody like, I was thinking about this last night, the Aaron Spencer case over there in Arkansas, where he was, you know, arrested and tried for killing his daughter's rapist and molester, his young daughter, and you know, they're trying for that. But that's bad. but it's okay for them to go over and blow up girls' schools and hospitals and everything. They'll call out on that. You know, I mean, it's like, doesn't that kind of like seem there's a disparity there with justice principles. So I think that it kind of shows you how warped the lens is on what goes on with the people that are up there making rules. So
I'm going to go back and tie that to like Cyrus Scofield and John Darby and just say that not long ago, what you're describing, Tim, that this fellow there in Arkansas, who really is, in my opinion, a hero. And I hope he wins. I think he has an opponent in November, I think. But regardless, I hope the man becomes the high sheriff there. But there was a time not long ago in this country where those were the type of men that we did elevate in those positions because we didn't allow child molesters to freely be a part of our society. You know, that was a part of justice, and that justice was based and rooted in a very real morality that came from Holy Scripture. And the people, our people, even though the people were illiterate in a lot of instances, they knew the book. They knew the morality because the laws were written on our heart. We knew because our very society, our culture, our laws, our business practices, our farming practices, everything we did was rooted in Holy Scripture because it was truly God's law for God's people. And what we've seen is God's people being replaced more and more by immigrants who don't have the same law written in their heart. They don't have the same culture rooted in the Scripture. And our law started changing. And the reason our law started changing is because our morality and our moral teachings coming out of the pulpits changed. And you can go right back to that Scofield Study Bible. You can go right back to those teachings of John Darby, and you can find out who funded those. And who funded those were the usual suspects, the enemy of our people, the enemy of God Almighty. And what happened was that same mirror image projection of God's people, Jacob Israel, who founded the New Jerusalem and had the most prosperous society probably in the history of the world, very quickly was co-opted by a mirror image. And our moral law that was deeply rooted in Scripture got replaced by Talmudic rules and influence to the point of where we would want to jail a father who killed the molester of his daughter. But we hold up on a pulpit God's supposed chosen people who wholesalely rained bombs down on hospitals and nursing homes and children's schools, and we say those are God's chosen people that have to be worshipped, and we have to bless those people because that's the only way that we can be blessed. And that is the trap of all traps. That is the trap. If that is not a deluding, if that's not the great delusion, I don't know what is. And that is why I say personally, the ground is plowed, the seed has been sown, and there is no greater time, at least in my lifetime, of being able to tell the truth about who God's chosen people are. And I encourage anyone who's listening to us today, don't sit on your hands. Don't wait for somebody else. Don't let Jason, Will, and Tim do it. You do it yourself. Get out there and tell the truth. Now is the time. There's no greater time than now.
Amen. Yeah. I say that all the time. Prove me wrong. Prove it wrong.
Prove me wrong.
I mean,
that's right.
Yeah. Get in there and start looking. I mean, Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them to call evil good and good evil, but put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, I mean, when we see that, that's what's going on, you know, so.
There's your mirror image. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break. We're about to the top of the hour. We'll be right back right after this song. Stay tuned, folks.
Wow. Everybody's gonna sing out pretty loud.
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Where do you guys want to go next?
Well, you all want to talk about Ted Cruz?
Yeah.
Take it away, Tim.
I'm not laughing because I think it's funny. It's just the hypocrisy. It knows no depth. I mean, he's facing some backlash here. Sometimes they go way overboard. I mean, he's up there saying that anybody that uses the words "Christ is King" is anti-Semitic code for targeting Jews. And, you know, the article I read said that he's a Southern Baptist Christian, and I'd have to say that, I mean, I think he's an Israeli shill, so I don't really know. I'm just going to...
Or a Jew bastard.
But any way you look at it...
hey, fellas, that's my senator.
Yeah, oh, I forgot.
I don't want to fight him.
Let me tell you about Ted Cruz. Let me tell folks listening about Ted Cruz, because I think his story really needs to be understood. All right, so do you remember Ted Cruz ran in the Republican primary to beat Barack Obama? Okay.
Yes.
And you don't know how much flack I received as a Texan at the time, telling people this guy is the Republican Barack Obama. Why is everyone in love with this guy?
Yeah.
So here's the story about Ted Cruz in a nutshell. All right. Ted Cruz's father was a guy named Rafael Cruz. What you will hear is this man was a Baptist minister, Pentecostal minister, and he's this great Christian teacher that relocated, that he was a Cuban exile that ended up in Dallas, Texas. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Not only is that not true, but Ted Cruz wasn't born in America. Ted Cruz wasn't an American citizen until he ran for president of the United States. So here's a story. Ted Cruz's father fought with Fidel Castro, the communist, to overthrow Batista in the 1950s. That's right. Ted Cruz's father was a Cuban revolutionary, a communist revolutionary, who overthrew Batista and installed the communist regime in Cuba. That communist regime that we hate now, well, that was Ted Cruz's father who helped fight and kill people in order to make sure that communist regime took a foothold as far as the government of Cuba. Now, he left. He left and ended up in Florida and Texas, used our system, our education system, to get a degree in petroleum engineering for free because he claimed to be a Cuban exile, even though he fought with Castro. Our United States government paid for him to go to college and get a degree because he lied. He lied and said that he was an exile from the Cuban, from Cuba, when in actuality, he was one of the communists who overthrew Cuba. Okay, so he gets a degree. He ends up in Canada, in the oil fields in Canada, where he meets an American woman, an American white woman, and they produce Ted Cruz, who is born in Canada and lived, I think, the first 9 years of his life as a Canadian citizen, or maybe a Cuban, or maybe an American, because we really don't know exactly what he was at that time. Okay? I really can't tell you. And the other side of it is his name is not Ted. It's Eduardo. His name is Eduardo Cruz, I really think it was 9, maybe 10, 11 years old. He stayed in Canada before they relocated to Texas. So here is the thing. He absolutely denied and said, I am not Canadian. I am an American. But he wouldn't address the fact that he was born in Canada, that he lived in Canada, that he went through primary school in Canada, and he was born to a father who at the time was not an American citizen. That's the other important part of this. Ted Cruz's father was not an American citizen until the 1990s. He had remained.
So there's no way that he should have been able to even run for president.
No, Jason. No. And that was here's the thing. Ted Cruz was a dual Canadian-American citizen until the 2000s. I think it was 2012, whatever that presidential cycle was. And I love this. I'm going off of memory, so you guys will have to forgive me if it's not an exact quote. This became such a hullabaloo that Ted Cruz was Canadian, and Ted Cruz was denying the fact, I am not a Canadian, I am not a Canadian. And the head, like the Secretary of State, the equivalent of the Secretary of State from Canada, released a statement. And that statement said, as far as the Canadian government is concerned, if Ted Cruz was in a foreign country and walked into a Canadian embassy, he would be afforded all of the rights and privileges of a Canadian citizen. Because he's a Canadian citizen. True story. Folks can fact check this, all right? So you have a man who is born of a communist revolutionary in Canada who is either a Canadian citizen or a Cuban citizen by his father's birth, but there's no American connection at all there. Other than his mother being an American, but that doesn't give him American citizenship. Who comes to America as a probably like a 10 or 11 year old, who runs for president, claims to be an American, and while running for president has to give up his Canadian citizenship. Did y'all know that? He had to formally renounce his Canadian citizenship because he was a Canadian citizen. Now, this is the guy who is sitting in Washington, D.C. as an elected senator from the state of Texas, and he is no more American than a Honda Accord. I don't know what to say. I mean, the guy is not an American. And Tim, either you or Jason said it, I will tell you, I do not believe that there is an elected official in Washington, D.C. that is more bought and paid for than Ted Cruz. And who has bought and paid him and pulls his strings is the Jewish lobby. He is an Israeli agent, 100%. And this nonsense about if you say, and I'm going to make a point here, that Christ is king is a dog whistle for anti-Semites. Folks, do you remember there's no king but King Jesus? That is what American revolutionaries said. That was a rallying cry 250 years ago when our people, our heritage, formed this nation. But why would Ted Cruz know that? Because he's either Canadian or Cuban, I'm not sure, but I'm sure as hell I know that he's not an American. And he's not doing the work of the American people. So understand these people that fawn over folks like Ted Cruz that think he's some kind of ultra-conservative, folks, he's a cutout. He's an actor. He is a bought and paid for actor. And he is saying the things to defend his masters, and that is the Israeli government. And if I probably should stop. I was about to say something. I'm going to stop. I'm sorry. Go ahead, guys.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
People get ran over by buses every day. That's all I can say.
Matthew 10:33 says, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." You know, and I read in this situation I was reading about this report on this, Cruz says that, that it's anti-Semitic to say Christ is king. Then a little further down, an actual quote from him said, quote, "I agree with the statement Christ is king," end quote. So, that's not necessarily bipolar of him. What he's saying is, I know it's true and I'm denying it. So it is a denial, because if you know it and you deny it, then That's a denial of fact when you know the fact. And I think that falls under that Matthew 10:33 hardcore. I mean, it's like, nope, you know who the king is, but you're saying I'm not gonna, I'm not participating. So the whole thing is, it's ludicrous. But back to that fruit test, you know, the shibboleth, they don't like that. They just can't do it.
In this interview, Ted Cruz says the things, and the things that he says is, he might as well have been a rabbi. For all I know, he may be a rabbi. I don't know. Here's a news flash. The Jews didn't kill Jesus. That's what Ted Cruz says. That you and me, we killed Jesus because he had to die for us. So we're responsible for Jesus's death. That's number one. Number two, and there's like, I get it. Like there's some of that I'll agree with, but you got to look at, are we talking about the commandment from God to send his son? Or are we talking about the physical arrest and execution, right? So I'm talking about the physical arrest and execution. Well, Ted Cruz says Jesus wasn't arrested by the Jews. He was arrested by the Romans. And the Romans were actually the government. So it wasn't the Jews who killed Jesus. It was the Romans who killed Jesus. And all of that, I guess, can be debated, but I look at it as, at least in my scripture, Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea, said, I find no fault in this man, and he washed his hands and said, I wash my hands of this. It is your custom as the Jews to pick who is to be executed, and the Jews picked Jesus. I don't know, is that what y'all's Bible says?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, I mean, I get it. The Sanhedrin stepped in, right. So Ted Cruz, who claims to be a Christian, who is the son of a Baptist minister, just like Tim said, I think he has that wrong. I do. I mean, that's my opinion. I think he has a lot of things wrong, though.
Well, and it's like a lot of things. Further study is required sometimes into it. The fact of the matter is at that time of Christ's birth, we were under the children of Israel. In differentiation to the Jews, were under dual bondage. The Sanhedrin was running things, and in the Roman Empire, took the whole thing over. And when you understand the layers, you begin to understand what went on.
Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way things worked, the Roman government at the time, you know, they would have these principalities or territories or whatever, and they would allow the local indigenous population, as in the Sanhedrins in this case, to have some sort of autonomy. They would allow them to have their festivals, their feasts, their own laws and customs and religion and that sort of thing, as long as they paid tribute and taxes to the Roman government. And I think that's exactly the scenario that we're talking about. Am I off base on that?
No, that's how they worked. That's how they kept the peace in a giant empire.
Right.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have had enough military force to hold together. Yeah.
So passing the buck off to the Romans is inaccurate.
Yep. Well, and you said it. Pontius Pilate said, I don't find anything wrong. I mean, he hasn't done anything bad.
Yeah.
And we see throughout the Bible where Christ talked about the scribes and the Pharisees, and we see where he talked about. And according to modern-day Jews, in the Jewish Encyclopedia, it says to call a modern-day Jew an Israelite is incorrect. We fall under the title of Pharisee. You know, so
right.
that shows you by their own mouth are they condemned, but it shows you that they had a superstructure in there where they ruled through the Sanhedrin because it was all Pharisees. And they ruled that situation. And the Israelites were being ruled by the Sanhedrin. So there's more than, like usual, it's not as cut and dried as everybody thinks it is. I mean, there's some nuances there that have to be understood.
Yeah. Well, I'll make one more comment about Ted Cruz. There is a lot of evidence that Donald Trump is looking at Ted Cruz to be his next pick for the Supreme Court of the United States. That there is at least a couple of Supreme Court justices that are considering stepping down within this year. And everything I have been told and read is Ted Cruz is right at the top of the list to get that lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court. And that is not good for the Constitution, and it's not good for our people.
Wow. Well, so, do you guys find it interesting that, you know, a lot of the gains that were made early on are, I'm seeing a lot of pushback from, like, DOJ and different things like that as regards some of the gains that were made earlier on and things that are going on. And it kind of, I kind of feel like, at least this is maybe just me, but I feel like maybe the only thing standing between some of the pushback from taking gains that were made back is kind of the Supreme Court's going, wait a minute, you know, I mean, right yeah. now, not yeah, it's like, wow. So it's such a, well, Pastor Peters used to call it the, what was it, the D.C. teeter totter, you know, I mean, it's like, wow.
Well, kind of what you were talking about there with Pastor Peters and that seesaw, that teeter-totter or whatever, I think that's part of it, right, Tim? Is you can't let – there can't be an absolute victory because then the game's over. And if the game's over, there's no profit to be made. So it has to – there has to be the constant pull and push of, you know, this makes ground and that makes ground, and it's enough – it's just enough – for one side or the other to believe that they're winning. And then comes the crushing defeat and the other side wins. And then you repeat the process. And that's on purpose. And that's, you know, what was it? The guy's name escapes me right now. The title of the book was Pawns in the Game. The author's name, I think it was Guy, was the fellow's name. That's what this really are, is the pawns in the game. And pawns don't profit. They just get killed. And that's what's happening. And guys like Ted Cruz, you know, they're not the queen. They're not the king. They may be a bishop or a rook or something like that, and they're getting moved across the board and put into prominent positions of power. But at the end of the day, all they're really doing is protecting the king and the queen. And the king and the queen is not elected. That is the system that we've moved into.
Yeah. Yep. William Guy Carr. Yeah, that's it.
William Guy Carr. That's it. Yep. William Guy Carr. Yep. Yep.
And yes. And as long as there's the only loser to the whole thing is the guy paying the bills, you know,
yeah.
the money flows. And it's the same way, really, if you think about it, with a whole bunch of other major, what do you want to call it, complexes in the country, whether it's the stock market or the commodities market, you know, they have it set up so that they make money if it's up, and they make money if it's down. Well, if you have that set up there, all you have to do is move it up and move it down, and you know, you can make money both directions. And that's that greed I'm playing into it there. There's the loser is the guy who's paying, not the guy who's running things. They're making it all
that's
the
right.
time. So, yeah.
That's right. You know, talking about all this stuff, and like I said, I didn't want to make it necessarily a one topic show, but what do you guys make of Joe Kent?
Man.
And his resignation. How powerful is that?
That was very, very powerful. Boy, sent a statement, too, and I mean, I agree with him 100%. I think that's what we've been saying all along, that Iran wasn't a threat to the United States. And if there's anybody that should know that, I think it'd be this guy.
Yes,
you would think.
I mean, that's kind of his job, isn't it? I didn't know a lot about him either. Reading up on it, man, I'll tell you what. I got a lot of respect for the guy.
Yes. Yes. He's legit. I mean, the word, patriot comes to mind. I think that he has definitely portrayed America first sentiment there in his actions. And, you know, there's all these people talking about, well, you know, yeah, you know, just because you didn't get listened to, you throwing a fit going home and this and that. It's like, yeah, I look at, and he was one of the ones who was talking about it quite a while ago, that if this was a year before we even did this Iranian thing, so they were batting that around. If you look at the old interview, the original interview with him, and I think it was Tucker Carlson, he talks about the fact that the Pacific theater would be left extremely exposed and weak. Everybody wonders why China hasn't been involved in this, and we talked about this a few shows ago, but China's interested in South Korea and in Taiwan, and we have weakened our position there, you know, substantially through this whole thing. And, you know, I mean, divided you conquer. If they, I will say this, and this is strictly my viewpoint, but if they get involved, that's where it will be. That will be in support of Iran, but it will also suit their interests very well. You know, as far as they'll be attack on South Korea or Taiwan, and that's our closest theater. The Pacific Theater is a big deal. It's the closest one to our country. It leaves leaving it vulnerable or exposed is a big deal. Iran's a long ways away, and the Persian Empire's been around a long time.
Interestingly enough, one of those aircraft carriers that we were talking about, the Gerald Ford, it actually got moved from the Pacific Theater to make its way to Iran. So one of our major aircraft carriers that was kind of a bulwark there in that region to kind of keep aggression at bay, we moved. It's just completely out of the area now. And personally, you know, I think those are the kind of decisions I think Joe Kent was looking at, saying, what are we doing here? You know, that we have real threats and we're moving assets to do the work of Israel. And he called it. I mean, he called a spade a dirty shovel. He said that directly to the president, that the Israeli government had fed him false intelligence to start this war with Iran, who was not a threat to the United States. I, like you said, Jason, anybody should know, it's probably the director of the National Counterterrorism Center that he's directly addressing the president of the United States, saying this is bad intel that the Israelis are using to drag us into a war. And you know, if folks haven't followed this, Joe Kent, he was an Army officer, but he was a Green Beret. He was with the 5th Special Forces Group at Fort Campbell, Kentucky for quite some time. He had 11 combat deployments in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Africa. His wife was also an Army officer who was killed in an IED in Iraq. You know, he's a Silver Star husband. The guy's got a lot invested in being a patriot and being an American warrior. And when you have that kind of guy that's raising a flag and saying we shouldn't be doing this, it appears that nobody in the room listened. And I think one of the important parts of this is I think they were angry at Joe Kent. And one of the reasons why they were angry at him is, if you remember hearing a month ago, 6 weeks ago, hey, there are Israeli Defense Force military officers assigned to our Pentagon. They're in our Pentagon helping calling shots. That was Joe Kent.
Yep.
Joe Kent is the one that put that information out there, because he's an American and he's a patriot and he loves our country, and he didn't like the idea that a foreign military is calling shots that are going to result in the death of our people. And I think that is when he became persona non grata. But I'm telling you, the guy's got a lot of guts. to stand up and say the things that he did. I don't know. I don't know what's going to become of him. I know there's a lot of speculation out there. You know, Tim, you were mentioning the Department of Justice and that sort of thing. I think there's a lot of speculation out there that there will be retribution against Joe Kent.
Well, he certainly called out. I mean, in one of his statements, he said, you know, kind of a short quote, until 2025, Trump understood that the wars in the Middle East were a trap that robbed America of the precious lives of our patriots and depleted the wealth and prosperity of our nation, end quote. You know, and that was one of the things he said when he resigned. And, of course, one of the questions I have is, okay, it's depleting our wealth and prosperity. Where is it going to? Because if it's depleting, it's obviously leaving our nation. You know, if you spend a dollar on Main Street, it stays in your community and circulates. So, and we do know that this is pulling that out. I mean, we're up there talking about whatever it was, several billion dollars for this ongoing war and everything else. And he said, I supported the values that he campaigned on in 2016, 2020, and 2024. And so something has changed. And, you know, his conscience would no longer allow him to support this. And there was no imminent threat to our nation. So, which Rubio said that the Israelis were going to attack, so we need to attack first. I mean, Rubio had said that. That was national TV. So when you look at these sort of things, I applaud his conscience. I mean, I think that the guy's a patriot. I think he's concerned for American people and his country. And I don't know what else you do when you're totally unappreciated and totally, you know, you don't want to be part of something that is so skewed. What did I say yesterday? He took his football and went home. You know, it's like, okay, I'm out of here. So, you know, I don't want my name on this. So there's one of those things.
You know, that great American philosopher, Kenny Rogers, he's saying you gotta know when to hold them and know when to fold them. You gotta know when to walk away and when to run. And I think Joe Kent got himself into a situation where it was time to fold and walk away.
Well, and I think they already launched a FBI investigation on basically from what he said, saying that he leaked information, didn't they?
Yes.
To Tucker Carlson, yeah. And, you know, Tucker's been saying for a couple weeks now that he is being surveilled, and he believes there's going to be a criminal investigation. Have you guys caught that?
I did.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey. Hi,
hey,
Kevin.
Will. Hey,
Jason. I have just a few things I'd comment on. Hal Turner ran a video of Caitlin Bennett interviewing those college people down there on the beaches in Florida taking a break. Did anybody see that?
No, I didn't.
No.
Yeah, it was so comical. Within a few minutes of her interviewing all these college students, they couldn't answer any questions about the United States. They didn't know how many senators. They didn't. 9/11 happened in 2012. On and on. It was really comical because. You remember when the day she graduated from Kent State University, she put the AR-10 over her shoulder?
Yep.
And that was terrific. Boy, she was now she was really fully equipped. You know, I went to the BS college, but it took that weapon to really make it for her. And I she's from Zanesville, Ohio. I really like her. yeah. Yeah, have you seen where they're removing Churchill from the currency in the UK?
No.
And they're they're replacing him with a beaver.
Yeah. Yeah.
A beaver.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. Politics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have. Yeah. Yeah. I remember when Ted was running for president, and that Glenn Beck was out there on the stage just crying his heart out. You know, you got to elect this guy. You got to elect the United States. That show and Sean Hannity and all the others on talk radio on that mainstream stuff, really, they're all doing that for him. And I wonder, and I haven't found anything saying he did, that Pastor Levin said he would interview Joe Kent. And I don't think that's happened yet, has it?
I think it was offered in, I think it was offered, and I don't think it happened, Kevin.
Yeah. Mr. Kent, he agreed to it. That's what was really good, and nothing happened, you know? It just, backed down.
Well, someone probably backed down, and I don't think Joe Kent's the back down kind of guy.
Oh, he ain't the back down guy. No way.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He so, paid such a dear price. He is. All those years.
Kevin, let me tell you this, just because I continue to talk about Ted Cruz. I really don't like Ted Cruz. Several years back, I had the opportunity to be in the room with Ted Cruz, and I shook hands with him. And my five-year-old daughter has a more manly handshake than Ted Cruz. The guy shook hands like he was full of fairy piss. I mean, I just I couldn't believe it how feminine this. He's a little bitty guy, and if you remember the television show The Munsters, he looks like a grown-up Eddie Munster or something like that. He's a little troll of a man, and I don't care for the guy, but anyways.
Yeah, I don't either. Oh, yeah, that's a good description of him, Eddie Munster.
Yeah.
I suppose his parents look like that, too, truthfully. Yeah. Eddie's, I don't know.
Well,
go ahead, folks. Go ahead. Just say anything.
No, go ahead, Kevin.
No, go ahead, Kevin.
I just want to call in, enjoy all the time spent with you and all you're doing for Christ's kingdom here on earth.
Well, thanks. We appreciate that, Kevin.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. You're very welcome and all deserving. And have a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you next week.
All right. God bless. Bye.
Great.
God bless you, Kevin.
So, okay, and I don't know. I didn't look into this, and I was just thinking about it. But so since Joe, well, we'll go back to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Yes, I think it's interesting what the issues that you're bringing up. And I think we need to keep in mind, and I hear it all the time, where everyone calls or identifies as a U.S. citizen or American citizen as if they're the same thing. And I think we need to stand on Webster's 1828 definition of American, which is defined as a native of America, originally applied to the aboriginals or copper-colored races found here by the Europeans, but now applied to the descendants of Europeans born in America. So we need to make that distinction, in my opinion, of who's an American and who's a U.S. citizen. Because a U.S. citizen, in my research, is a legal fiction. And in order to engage in commerce, you have to convert from the living man into a legal fiction. And you know, take on a nom de guerre. And I know you guys know some of this, but I think we need to revert back to what's really going on, because the enemy looks at you as a debtor or a creditor. That's it. You're a debtor or a creditor. And if you're using money of account, which most people are, you're a legal fiction, not the living man, because our goal is to claim Revelation 11:15 jurisdiction, which is claiming the kingdom. So everything else becomes irrelevant. And like Pastor Peter defined America as kingdom heaven. So, you know, I'm here in Philadelphia, and the definition of Philadelphian is one of the family of love. But the issue that we need to look at is the first page of the U.S. Code. Title 1, Section 1, it's one page. In determining the meaning of any act of Congress, unless the context indicates otherwise, and then it goes down to definitions, and it says, words importing the masculine gender include the feminine as well. And that's this whole transgender stuff, because we're identifying as a legal fiction. A legal fiction has no gender. But this first page of the U.S. Code should be front and center in order to get our understanding. So that's what I... Because we're hitting on it. We're headed for a jubilee. So all this, we have the context of the scriptures to make our claims of right. And we're not doing it. And we attach it. I'm sorry.
No, no. Keep going, please.
No, I think that we need to take the scriptures and attach the liability, scriptural liability, as to what our enemies are doing. And repent and come back to the living man, make the Revelation 11:15 jurisdiction claim. I'm a living man, and my law book is this Holy Bible. So that's why this whole, you know, this whole context, and this relates back to Pope Francis and how he dissolved all the corporations. So I encourage you, brothers, to look at this U.S. Code, Title I, first page, meaning it's all fiction, what they're presenting us. They're all presentments. All right, thank you, brother.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, we've got about we've got about 18 minutes left. Tim, why don't you fill us in on what is I haven't heard an update in the last, I don't know, since yesterday morning on the fires over there in Nebraska, but I mean, we were approaching over a million acres yesterday. Any updates on the fire situation?
It's actually hard to find information about it. I don't know if you noticed that too, but
I did.
Here it's hard. I'm literally doing person to person contact to get any updates, because it's just, it's hard to find out stuff, but lots of there's still fires. Last I heard, they were around 40 to 50% contained. It's still burning over in Cottonwood Canyon, and I don't know. I can't find out anything about the Morrill area, but I think it's still, they still got some hot spots up there. It's extremely dry. Most of what's burned is pasture ground. Supposedly one death. An elderly lady who couldn't get out. The issue with this is given the time of year it is and everything else, it's not good. I mean, we've got the cattle prices, it's not going to help with that any. I mean, we're seeing that go on. And I have to actually wonder if, strategically, if this isn't some kind of planned event. I don't know, because we're seeing these artificial drivers on cattle prices. And I'm not saying that ranchers are jacking up cattle prices, but I think we're seeing an underlying infrastructure control of these sort of things. And this isn't going to help any, you know what I'm saying? So you got to feed them something. And it's bad. I mean, this is the worst fire we've ever seen. It's extremely dry and extremely windy. There have been there's just all kinds of things there that have got a guy scratching his head, but it's not good. I mean, and it's amazing to me how the community's basically out here taking care of it themselves. I mean, they talk about all these government agencies, but there's not really any help there. I mean, we've got guys that own spray plane companies. They're out spraying. They're out, you know, and they're taking that out of their pockets. I mean, they're doing it themselves, which is not unusual here. I mean, it kind of works that way all the time. But it is amazing to see communities come together. There have been some evacuations in towns. People are back in their homes now. But the fact that there's no more loss of life than there has been is just the Lord's blessing. So that's about all I can tell you right now. I mean, most of the ground that's burned is pasture. There have been a lot of over there north of McConaughey, up around the Welland area, there's been a lot of homes and structures burned. I know one site over there south of the Maxwell-Gothenburg area that the fire went down through there. People I was talking to said they were doing some work over there, and as I understood it, all the structures on their job site burned down except one. So, you know, I mean, it's not nice, and it's costing a lot of.
Are they? I was trying to figure it out, and one thing that I mean, that's cattle country, and from what I've seen on the maps, that's, you know, where there should be. I would think that there'd be a lot of cows. I haven't seen anything on. Are they moving cows? Are they shooting them? Are they? I mean, what are they doing with the livestock? I haven't been able to see anything on that.
I've had trouble with that too, and actually they've had a couple feedlots. The fire went right through over there up around Morrill area where there aren't feedlots up in there, and I don't know whether they just let the cattle out or what. I'm sure they, you know, you don't just move a whole feedlot in a matter of 5 or 6 hours, and these fires.
We're talking big feedlots. They got some big ones over there.
Yeah. We're talking like thousands and thousands of head of cattle. I mean, it's like, and you don't just move them in a few minutes, and we're talking about fire fronts that were moving at 40 to 50 miles an hour. So, and sometimes even faster than that. Yeah, so it doesn't burn a long time, but it burns a lot, and it really moves, and it's dangerous. So, yeah, we have lots. Prairie fires are totally a different story than forest fires. They're just a really different scenario. So, when you look at some of that, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I do know that there have been several feedlots hit with cattle units. Again, information is, I'm just astounded at how hard it is to find things out. I mean, it's like, wow. There's very little on the national news.
I've called several people in Nebraska and reached out to them, and it's like people that are close to the fires, they really don't have any information either. It's like, I mean, it's smoky, and we can see a glow, and roads are closed, and that's it.
Let me ask both of you guys, do they know the origin yet of what supposedly caused this?
Well, they're trying to say it was a power line or something, but if you kind of look at the areas, and again, if you look at the areas of the differences of these fires, they had to have started from more than one location. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any proof, but you can't get, you know, you've got a fire at up around Morrill, you've got one at Llewellyn, you've got one clear over in the central part of the state, south of the interstate, you've got up around the Valentine area, you've got fire up there. You know, I mean, that's a lot of fires in a lot, and it's a big geographical state. I mean, you know, you don't just, and even at 40 to 50 miles an hour, they're not all interconnected. I mean, they are now, but they weren't at the time. So I'm suspicioning, it leaves me with that, you know, tinfoil hat conspiracy thing, like what's going on here with all these starting kind of all at the same time. So, but last thing I heard was I talked to a guy whose wife is a dispatcher, and they were saying that it was a power line, you know, fire. But isn't it strange that we have all these, and I know, Jason, you can speak to this too, but we've got all these power line fires all of a sudden, and how come we've never really had any before?
Right.
You know, I mean, over the last 60 years, very rarely have we ever heard about that. But now all of a sudden it's power lines. We got to shut your power off. We got to, you know, it's something there's not adding up. That's my opinion.
Well, and I think it's one of those things. That, I mean, I think it's, you know, the power lines, where the power lines run, generally they run on the side of the road. Somebody could be driving down the side of the road and throw something out of their vehicle and, you know, oh, it's a power line.
Yes, that's a good
point. 100%. Yeah.
The other thing is all the power lines are maintained in a way to limit exposure to fire starting. I mean, they mow, they keep them cleaned up, you know, and that kind of stuff.
So, yeah, yeah. We got, the tree crews that are, they're working in our area right now. And, I mean, they come down, they're coming through there, and they, you know, they're replacing power poles nonstop, and they're cutting all the trees away from them, keeping everything back. And, I mean, they do a good job of that, and they've, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just not buying. I'm not buying it. So,
they keep the right of ways mowed, like Tim was saying. I mean, we don't necessarily deal with the tall trees here, but I mean, there are dedicated contract crews that do nothing but tree trim and mow around these high lines for that very reason. I mean, that's hard to believe. Like you said, Tim, that it's interesting that it's a new thing. It's not like electricity's new. It's not like the supply lines are new. Seems like it would have happened before now.
Yeah. Maintenance has been good. What's changed? So, yeah.
You like to talk about asymmetrical warfare, Tim. And I know going back to the 1970s and 80s, that was one of the things that was talked about quite a bit, is if we were going to have these little hot spots, so to speak, on the mainland, of how that would look. And one of the things that they talked about was just that, setting wildfires. That's a very easy, like you were talking about, Jason, it doesn't take much just to drive down the road and, toss a this or a that. And all of a sudden, you know, you got hundreds of thousands of acres on fire and a lot of money and time and resources being used to fight it. And, you know, if you wanted to do harm to a population, you know, we already have skyrocketing beef prices. You know, why not burn up a lot of pasture land and see what it does to beef prices? So, yeah, asymmetrical warfare.
Control the food, control the people.
Yeah, and this food war is a real thing. I mean, anybody who, you haven't done much research if you can't see that they're attacking our, people are like, well, I ate that all the time when I was a kid. It was like, no, you didn't. This new stuff's nothing like what you ate when you were a kid. It's a totally different compound. It's not even food. You know, just because it was a brand name, it's been sold out, adulterated and, manipulated. And it's no longer, it's got the same name, but it's a different product, you know, and we're just,
McDonald's used to serve hamburgers. I'm not really sure what they do now, but I mean, it used to be real hamburgers.
Right.
Yeah. Once upon a time, in a land far, far away.
Did you guys hear anything? Yeah. I know this is off subject, but did you guys hear anything about the McDonald's hamburgers and what the whole thing is? Apparently, there was a video that was AI generated with the CEO of McDonald's that came out and said, you know, this is what I'm eating, and it caused all kinds of people to start talking and the controversies and stuff like that. I've heard about it from two people, but I did not dig into it or look at it. But either one of you guys know anything about that?
No.
Okay.
If it's the one I'm thinking about, it's the one where he took a bite and spit it out in the napkin when he wiped his face. He wouldn't eat it. But it was like. But he made it look like he was eating it, you know. So, yeah, I don't know if that's the one or not, but I seen something like that go by here the other day. And yeah, there's some interesting, there's a lot of interesting math involved in that. I mean, when they start doing the math, so the question is, what are they feeding people? So.
Yeah, exactly.
Soylent Green.
Yep.
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Now we got about, we better move on. Let's go ahead and jump down to Prepper Tip of the Week.
I'm just going to throw this out there because it's a conversation I had yesterday. Thursday. I'm sorry. I was visiting with a large wholesaler of ammunition over in Mississippi.
Never mind. Go ahead. Keep on.
Okay. I was visiting with a large wholesaler of ammunition over in Mississippi, and in conversation, specifically talking about Winchester ammunition, but in conversation, they were told that after the second quarter that they do not expect to get any sizable shipments in from Winchester for the remainder of the year. And they're specifically, they were talking about 9mm and 5.56, 308, that sort of thing. And the very nice woman who's the managing director of this wholesale house, and I tried to give her the ninth degree and get the third degree maybe and get the information out of her, and she simply said, "I don't know, but I'm sure it's going to be federal contract related." So my prepper tip of the week, Jason, is if you need some ammo, there's no time like the present, because that's a little bit of an inside track of, like I said, these folks move a lot of ammunition, and they're being told, by Winchester, that don't expect any deliveries after the summer.
Wow. Okay. Well, and I'll tell you what, and I'm just going to throw this out there, is prices are, for everything that's going on, I think the prices are good on ammo.
And, agreed. Yeah, agreed.
I had bought some recently and got it shipped in, and I'm going to put a plug in. There's a company that I bought a lot of stuff from, and I don't, they're not an advertiser. They don't know who I am or anything like that, but, SG Ammo, I'll tell you what, fantastic people to deal with, good prices. I get, weekly updates from the emails that they send out, and everything that I bought recently, checked prices on, that's where I've been getting it. They've got it in stock and they're shipping it out. They usually get it shipped out within 24 hours. And, there's a lot of the companies that are out there that if you buy a case of 9mm, by the time you go through and you add it to your cart and you go to check out, then you find out that it's $86 for shipping and handling. These people don't do that. They got, a lot of it's free shipping on it, but it states it right there. They've got 9mm that you can get, practice ammo, 115 grainers for, right around $250, $1,000, 25 cents a round shipped to your door. I bought some 62 grain, 5.56 green tip penetrators the other day, and they were like 46 cents a piece. And I thought that was a good price, best price that I've seen in a long time. So, I do like dealing with that company. Just want to throw that out there. But I like having. I think it's a good time to get stocked up. Prices are right and it's available. And I see it coming where it's going to be. I think the prices on ammo very possible within the next 6 months could double.
Yeah.
If you can find it.
You can find it, yeah. So, and I like to have a variety. I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Will, but, having a variety, what ammo and why? We got shotgun ammo, pistol ammo, rifle ammo. What do you guys like?
A little bit of everything. I would say that whatever you have, try to at least maintain, and this is a minimum, not a maximum, but you should try to have 1,000 rounds for every caliber you have. You know, I mean, of good ammo. And I don't think that means, not that having target ammo is a bad thing or practice ammo, but, you know, you should have 1,000 ammos what do you want to call it? Real stuff, you know, and your practice ammo would be in addition to that. I mean, that you're going to use. But that's my opinion. And I think definitely, there's maintaining the minimums, 12 gauge, 9mm, 223.556 or, and probably 308. And, yeah, you definitely need to have, 45 ACP. I mean, whatever you've got. The thing's a paperweight without ammo, so, you know.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. I think, too, it's, you know, lots of 22 ammo is cheapest, and, you know, if they're saying that Winchester's not going to be able to provide ammo, then they will probably shut down and switch the 22 factories over to producing other stuff, with like what's happened in the past.
That's right.
And so if you want 22 ammo, it's cheap, and I'll tell you what, yeah. I like